Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 24 degrees. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area. Good morning. 01:00 hours. Cloudy. 23 degrees. Good morning. 02:00 hours. Cloudy. 23 degrees. Good morning. 03:00 hours. Cloudy. 22 degrees. Good morning. 04:00 hours. Cloudy. 22 degrees. Good morning. 05:00 hours. Cloudy. 19 degrees. Updated weather. Special weather statement. Good morning. 06:00 hours. Cloudy. 22 degrees.
RUH. Hello, CBF. What's up, Dakota? Just got in a truck and making my way. What about you? You almost there?
I'm about 15 minutes out, which leads me to believe that there's traffic, because it shouldn't be 15 minutes from where I'm at.
Don't forget, there's white stuff falling from the sky. Everyone forgets how to drive.
Oh, dude, there was people on 696 going 45 miles an hour in the fast lane. It was ridiculous.
Yep, that's par for the course, man. First couple snows. I mean, I guess it happens all winter, but it's just like, man, get in the right lane and putt all you want or stay home. Just get out of my way.
Yep, there's a bunch of lanes. There's one for you and there's one for me. You know, like, I don't get it. I understand everybody has a different comfort level in driving in snow and whatever, but there is a system for that, and I don't understand why people don't abide by it.
The problem is most of those people can't drive on dry pavement, so there's that variable. Did you mess with that tablet at all? Were you able to get the rest of it installed?
No, I got it in my front seat right now. If I have some time today, I'm going to mess with it while I'm at the office. Did you put, what version of Ubuntu did you put on there? Because I know, at least for the other versions, it was, or the other revisions of his software, it was a specific version of Ubuntu that needed to go on there.
His install guy called for 22, so that's what I put on there.
Fantastic. And you said it crashed one of your thumb drives. Was it just working too hard or something, and it was an old one? Or that very rarely does a thumb drive die. That was interesting.
I don't know if it killed it or if the image it loaded was non-bootable. But I tested it, so in that software, or in your tablet, there's software called Cubic, and it's a custom OS builder, and that's really what you're doing. So I got the heavy lifting out of the way, and now you just have to follow the instructions. I would probably just recreate that image. And then what it does is it generates an ISO that you then burn to a USB drive, and then you can boot from that. So the image must not have been complete. I don't know. There was something, there was a disconnect between the final output of the ISO and then booting it into the machine. Because my computer, my Mac wouldn't recognize the USB after. And usually I can see the boot files on it. And then the tablet didn't recognize it. It happened twice. I did two different USBs. So not necessarily that it killed the USBs, but they became non-bootable.
All right, if I have some time today, I'll take a look at it and see if I can figure it out. But, yeah, thanks for getting it loaded. It will get me so much further ahead of where I was.
You just got to figure out what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, well, there's that, too, right? But I did start, I didn't put up that spider beam yet, but I did start messing with it. I got the that bracket on there that you gave me, and stopped and bought some stakes to stake it out, and some 550 cord. So if I have time, maybe I'll get it set up in the backyard today, and then see what I'm going to put up there from there. That antenna that you gave me years ago, do you think that's something that I should run on that thing? I can't even remember what it was. It's you may remember what antenna that is.
Yeah, you can. You can run a tuner. It's a Nelson random wire 901, like a 72-foot piece of cable or something. Maybe not. Maybe 60. Can't remember. Well, it's a good antenna. You just need a tuner.
Yeah, I got a tuner for the 891, so I may try that. It may be better than putting that NFET half wave up there, because the only one that I, or no, I have another one, but the one that I have tuned is for 10 meter, which is fine, but I'd like to be able to listen to other stuff too. So I got to see where I'm going to put it and hang the box and everything. So we'll see. I'll probably get to that this weekend. Hey, I'm going to grab some gas. I'll be right back. K8RUH.
And ABDS anyway.
Still there, Dakota?
Yes, sir.
Dude, I'm filling up for 239 right now. I don't think gas prices crashed, but I'm at BJ's, so it's always a little cheaper, but I thought I was seeing around town 299 to 319. This is crazy. It's awesome. I'm glad I'm filling up right now, but much lower than I expected.
Yeah, that's super cheap. The last time I filled up, I paid 309.
Shell station.
264 is the cheapest BP around here, and it's been holding steady at that for the last, that's with my discount card, anyhow, it's been holding steady at that for the last several weeks.
Well, the cash prices that I passed on the way to work this morning are $279, $289 cash credit. WABPD.
My own fault. The gas station I go to is owned by a Dearborn local that loves ripping us off.
Well, I'm glad it's on its way down, apparently, except for in Dakota's neighborhood.
So, Anthony, 80 meters.
Yeah, what about it?
I think it would work real good where you're at because you could set up a NVIS antenna and communicate locally.
Well, you're probably absolutely right, but there is one thing holding me back, and it's my inability to study and take the next test.
No, I know. I can't remember what my final kick in the ass was to just get my general. I think it was. I think it was bullying from Dave, actually. Dave was finally just, do it. And Prestricon, everyone was kind of pushing me to do it. So I just one day said, all right, I'm just going to do it and get it over with.
Yeah, I will, I know I've said it a million times, but I just need to find some time, and now it's dark earlier, the weather's crummy, and I don't know that there's a better time to start looking at it and just spending 20, 30 minutes a day listening to somebody talk about it. I mean, you know, it's like, unfortunately, and I think we've all had this conversation before, you take the test and it's very little of it is applicable to what call it day-to-day operations. So it's just hard to stay focused and stick with it when, you know, there's the real world piece of it isn't necessarily on the test.
Yeah, I don't think I could tell you a single thing that was on that test, honestly. All I remember was it was basically general with, like, a variety of different, more advanced questions, but not really. Not general tech.
Yeah, I just, you know, and it's uncommon knowledge in day-to-day. So it's not even applicable or correlates with something that I already know. So it just makes it that much more frustrating.
Yeah, Yeah, I would just do the flashcards and then just remember the flashcards and then not retain the information and then just get the general and then figure it out from there. I kind of was in the same boat. It's like, I can't apply this to anything. And it was like learning something totally new and having to retain it.
Yeah, that's maybe what I'm going to have to do is just find some flashcard method or listen to an audio book while I sleep every night or something silly. Figure out how I can just retain the information long enough to take the test and get, what, 70% or 75% and move on.
Yeah, just download the hamstudy.org app and flip through that when you're bored.
I think I have that app. I'll have to look and see.
Speaking of traffic, I have been in bumper-to-bumper the last 2 miles.
Well, somebody's ahead of you going 35 miles an hour on Van Dyke that you're supposed to be going 70.
Got to remember, driving's hard.
Well, it's dark, and like you said, white stuff fell out of the sky.
I think there should be an IQ test associated with the driver's test.
Well, if we could do that and still figure out how to make that un-American, you know, well, that's rather un-American that, you know, we block somebody from doing something. If we can figure out how to make that fall under it's okay in America, I might be all right with it because it is wild how crazy people are.
All right, I'm finally on the highway. You're destinated?
I am pulling in the driveway right now.
All righty. Well, yeah, let me know if you got questions about that tablet, and then we'll have to hook up again. I'll get you that DMR radio back. I think whoever you got it from messed around with it, and it's been tampered with.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that they put a different software or firmware on there, and now it's, like, locked up because I can't get it to do a darn thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened. They put the wrong firmware on there trying to do something, maybe open GD77, and then now you don't have any options in the radio, and basically a break.
Does that battery work with your radio?
I don't believe so, no. I have an RT3S, which I forgot. I think that's a clone of an MDUV380, or is an MD, I don't know. All these Chinese OEMs drive me nuts. That's another reason, like the conversation we had yesterday, like, I can't stand trying to keep track of all these model numbers because they're all made by the same damn factory in China, just white labeled.
Yep. Well, take a look. If that battery and charger and stuff work with your radio, just hang on to it. Have an extra battery for your radio. Otherwise, yeah, we'll link up soon and get something figured out.
All right, I'll double-check, but I'm almost positive it doesn't. But, yeah, let me know next time you're on this side of town. I'll throw in the truck.
All right, yeah, I got some time coming up during the holidays that I'll be off, so I'm sure I'll be around over there.
Sounds good, and let me know if you're going to that swap. I doubt I'm going to go. I'm going to be on triple dad duty, but I wouldn't mind. I looked this morning. I have 9 HTs. I use maybe one of them. So I'd really like to thin out some of those. Granted, only three of them are really worth anything, but still.
All right, yeah, I'm definitely going. It just depends on what time. I'll probably go early. I just got elected last night to be on dad duty at like 11 o'clock Sunday morning. So, but I think it starts at like 8, maybe even 7. It's a pretty early one. So I got to take a look and see. But I'm definitely going to swing by there and check it out.
I think it starts at 8, so yeah, that would probably work out good for you. You can just jump in, hopefully find a nice sideband rig, sell some crap, and get out.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm going to go through the trouble of trying to sell anything. I might just go and see if I can find that sideband rig and get out of there.
I think I looked at that 897 you sent me, but I didn't buy it because it was Japan market. I thought they'd be easier to find. They're actually really hard to find. Again, it would probably be fine. I just didn't do enough research to know the power limitations and things like that.
Yeah, I got to look and see. I also need to look and see and if there are specific things that I should be avoiding or looking for that's gonna make a unit that has sideband on it a bad thing. You know, like if there's particular units to avoid, or like you said, the international market ones. But I'll take a look and see what I can figure out.
Sean is definitely the guy that's got the knowledge on the models. The only one I'm familiar with is the 991A, which sucks because that should be a killer radio, but everyone I've talked to that has one has had issues with it, so take that for what it's worth.
700 hours. Cloudy. 20 degrees.
84 is CYQ.
Go ahead, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is KE4ZYQ Clinton Township. I have a 991A. That's what you're hearing right now, and I agree. Everybody I know but maybe one person has had to send them in, get it repaired, and then get it back, and I will never run this radio on 50 watts on FM because I don't know if that was blew the finals, but the antenna match and everything was fine. Just radio had some defect in it. Back to whoever.
Yep, and I've heard that story multiple times from multiple people.
Hello? Hello?
Good morning. Checking in. W8FU.
Good morning. Come on in.
All righty then. I wasn't expecting this snow, but, pretty, anyhow. Don't know who all's out here. I was listening a little bit while I was getting dressed, so I heard a little bit, not much. Heard you say something about 80, getting your general. That is Anthony getting his general. Yeah, it's recommended. It seems like, you push people to get on ham radio in general, and then as soon as they get in, you push them again. But it really does open up the hobby and really, really lets you get a feel for all of it.
It's nice to have the flexibility just having that. Like I said, I don't think I'm going to end up with extra at any point. I don't know. Who knows? But I don't think I would have a lot of equipment that I have either without having general, because it's a tough justification spending that kind of money on an FM rig or a 2-meter 70-centimeter rig. But yeah, it's like a whole separate part of the hobby.
ZYQ, somewhat of an outsider. You guys have your normal routine. I didn't want to disrupt it too much. But good morning to all. Happy post-Thanksgiving.
Well, Joe, I'd say you're fairly regular here, so I wouldn't say that. Anyhow, happy Thanksgiving. And yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, if you're like you are and like me and like many of us, we like the gear. And, you know, it's all about the gear, and General opens up a whole bunch of more. I can use that.
Anthony wasn't here, but I know he was on the app at work, so I don't know if he's still hanging out or not. But, yeah, I think this truly is my most expensive hobby. It's surpassed hunting and shooting.
Guys, if I don't have any disruptive life-altering situations here, I hope to get my General this year, sometime this spring or summer. And like you said, open up the world a little bit more. I got the equipment I can't hardly use, especially 991A. But I do have some antennas. I do listen and pick up a lot and hear a lot, but hey, that's only half the fun, right? Over to you, Sean.
Oh, yeah. It's the hobby's always been grounded in HF. That's been its bread and butter. The VHF, UHF stuff has always just been kind of like take it or leave it. You know, I know for a lot of us now, especially since, you know, they've introduced a tech license. That was called incentive licensing, I think, when they did it back in the 80s, was it? We came in as a result of that. Before that, you had to do the whole novice thing and for a while, and then you dropped the N off your call, went from WN8ABC to W8ABC, somewhere in there. I'm not sure exactly when, but they went from novice general. And I'm not sure if the extra existed. That might have been added as well, but I think it was all part of incentive licensing. You know, they thought these little jumps with a little bit more privilege would be useful, and I think they just were a little too granular. You know, they had the TAC and then the general. Now those were solid. Those were, you know, novice actually. I think novice and TAC were some redundancy, and then you know, general, advanced, even extra. You know, I don't know. What do I know about it all? Did it work? Who knows? There's how many of us nowadays, Dakota?
My question is, I think the current, I don't know, maybe I don't. I was going to say, I think I could agree with the current licensing structure, but maybe not. Like, why extra separated from general if it's just a little bit more band allocation, and then why give 10 meters to techs? That's the biggest one. Why do techs get 10 meters?
Okay, for ZYQ, just to give you guys a little history, not that it matters, but it came to mind talking about licensing. My wife and I, when I was married, before I lost my wife, we would move to Tennessee to live and find work, and you may not have heard this story, but we both got our ham license together. I talked her into getting hers so she could put one in the car. We have it in the car. I don't remember ever having one in the house because we were too busy after we got home. But that was when they had novice. So there you go, 1986. Boy, that seems like a lifetime away. But then I got grandfathered in after I let it lapse, losing my wife. I let it lapse and checked out it, got back in, and got upgraded, so there you go to technician. So I got to get advanced over the general here soon. So that'll be a goal of mine if nothing else disrupts my life. Over to you, Sean, from KE4ZYQ.
Sorry, I was ordering my coffee. Yep, I did all of them. you know, back in the era where there was novice, tech, general, advanced, and extra. I had every one of them. Each one was, you know, it worked in the incentive licensing, you know, because each one was a small step. The advanced was the hardest technically, and of course the extra was the hardest from a code perspective. Of course, that's all changed now. You know, why do they have it? I don't know anymore. You know, they should probably, you know, since they've, you know, I don't know. I think the idea was we're going to have you really, really become an expert, you know, and know all this, you know, all this minutia and stuff like that, you know, about phasing of Marconi arrays and stuff like that. You know, this will be our elite, you know, ham radio operators. They'll know all this stuff. And this is before the question pool was published, so, you know, you had to kind of know it. You couldn't really just, you know, study the questions and answers, and you kind of had to have a lot of TV broadcast engineers and stuff like that were all hams. And, you know, and I think the incentive was you get these little exclusive slices of band, you know, that no one else can use. So, you know, if there was, you know, HF was a lot more crowded, a lot more people on it. So, you know, to have these little exclusive portions that you could use was worth it. And, but, you know, but you really had to know your craft, to get your extra. Now, they dropped the code requirement, so you're not trading you're not trying to get a more proficient group of code operators. They published the question pool, so very few people, including myself, you know, actually learn the stuff. You know, I read the questions and answers just like anybody else, you know, and that was 80-something, you know, so I just think, you know, when they did that, they were kind of like, well, you're trying to do this, but because of this, it's really not working, and it's just taking them time to, you know, sort it all out. Why they still have the extra, I don't know, just a little bonus to learn some extra stuff they want you to learn, I guess, you know, fooling themselves that people actually learn the stuff on the test.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Go ahead and pick it up.
I mean, when I got my license, I had to take the novice first. I didn't have to do code requirements on it. But then it told me go for no code check. And I did that in, what, 98? And that's where I've sat ever since, is no code check. I'm working on the general. I think that general and the extra maybe should be combined. Like I said, it's just a couple other questions, Sean, that you got to answer. But I think either get rid of general or get rid of extra and just make general the all-band, you know, GOAT kind of thing. Go ahead, whoever's next. KZKGO.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Well, when they have the extra, the only thing I can think of is they want to have another category that could be charge you for a fee for your license. So anything to make a buck sometimes. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason. Over to you, Sean, I believe. KE4ZYQ.
Like I said, I don't know about that. I think they actually thought they had something, you know. And, you know, oh, here's why we'll get them to learn all this stuff, you know. And, you know, it'll be worth it because they'll get this extra, you know, get this extra piece of, you know, spectrum. So, you know, this is how we'll really make sure we get our, you know, because that's what they always stated purpose. One of the stated purposes was to have a highly knowledgeable and trained radio core group. You know, to a degree, we feel that. There's a lot of appliance operators, but you know, most of us know how to put a station on the air. That's what POTA is so nice. You know, that's really the spirit of ham radio, learning how to just bug out, get a station set up, learn how to improvise. You learn a lot about, you know, what works and what doesn't as far as antennas go. You could probably, after a while, you know, you could make antennas and, you know, figure out power sources and all that stuff in almost any scenario. And I think that's what they want. That's, you know, we're supposed to be guys that when, you know, when poo-poo hits the oscillator, we know how to get a signal out. So, yeah, there you go. But, here we are. And what do we got now? Tech, general, and an extra. Is that it now? Dakota? It would be nice if the extra incorporated more things of that nature. Like you just said, the portable aspect that's never taken into account. Maybe I take it for granted. It's not that hard to get on the air, but it's way harder when you're out in the field. You know what I mean? Like, if you're at home and you got power and tools and this, that, and the other thing, it might be tedious and it might be a little bit of work, but it's probably a lot easier than if you're in the middle of a field on a picnic table or in the middle of nowhere with nothing. It'd be nice if that was majority, or not majority, but some of the testing for extra. But yes, it's tech, general, extra. And at this point, too, so, right, there is the elitist, you know, the four calls and all that, but there's no incentive, unless you want that four call, which everyone fights over, to jump up to extra, at least for me, because it's just a little bit more band allocation that I'm probably not going to use, because the majority of what I do is in the general area for contests and POTA.
Coastside Mobile.
Go ahead, Jerry and Chester.com.
I can see that, definitely, guys. I said I have a hard time, you know, retaining some things, and I still can't wrap my head around the Morse code, which I think is really cool, just finding it out and receiving it back and reading it. Who knows, maybe I'll do a recording in my sleep that I can get all the letters together. But I think we had a calling station out there that ended with Z. Go ahead.
Yeah, KTHZ, Jerry. Yeah, back in 89 to 91, there were five hoops to jump through to get to extra. But there were never any fees. Not to just recently when I had to renew. But $350 a year is chump change. I spent more than that at the grocery store a few minutes ago. And, yeah, I don't know what's with code. You know, they got rid of it in 2000. And then Long Island CW Club came along in 2019. And now they've gone from one video channel to five and over 5,000 numbers.
Not sure. Well, good morning. Let me make sure I got it.
84ZYQ. Yeah, but isn't there an advanced license, too? I've seen people that says that their license say advanced. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, if that is a classification. But anyhow, one thing about ham radio that's neat, as opposed to the general population, is your ability to communicate with in emergencies and to have backup powers and all the stuff you get learning about for other things, let alone ham radio backup power that sustains you throughout emergencies or otherwise to some degree. So that's definitely a plus. When you talk to the average homeowner, they may not even have backup power for necessities, let alone communications or cell phones or whatever, you know, very long. I think it may go over to Sean. I could be mistaken. KE4ZYQ.
No, that's right, Jerry. Joe. Good morning, Jerry. And, yepers, I don't know that they necessarily need all the, you know, everything now. They made everybody mad. It used to be that way. I think it used to be novice and a general. I think that was it way back in the day. And then they made the extra and took some privilege away from the generals and really kicked them all off, especially since to get it back, to get everything they had back, they had to learn code at a speed, you know, higher than they were likely required. And, you know, it was a barrier for many. I find that I've never seen this proof or documented or anything like that, but my theory on why the 5, 13, and 20 existed was You know, at five words a minute, you can literally, you know, count the dots and the dashes, assemble them in your mind. Let's say, you know, dit, da, oh, that's an A, write it on the page. You got time to do that at five. Five is the minimum, that they allow, and at that speed, you can literally just listen to the dots and the dashes and convert it in your mind. You have time. 13, I think, represents the fastest you can go, give or take. You know, everybody's a little different, but I think that, in general, for most people, 13 is about the fastest you can go and still convert the characters from dots and dashes to characters and then put them on the page. And after that, you got to start hearing characters. You don't have time to convert. And then, you know, there's 20. So I think that's why the 13 was that intermediate step. I just think that's the fastest you can go and still build the characters in your mind and convert them and all that stuff. Anywho, you know, it opens up, it's amazing how much CW opens up, but that's just a matter of, you know, can you learn it? I've always been, I wouldn't say it's tone deaf, but I've always had a hard time with languages and things like that, so it's a real struggle for me. I don't enjoy it, and I really pushed myself through it by the seat of my pants. I use it very minimally now, and I wish I didn't. I wish I was conversational, and the only way you can do that is get out there and practice, but I don't, so it's another one of those bucket list projects that maybe one day. I think Dakota gets it after me. I wouldn't mind going back to a two-tier licensing, and that's easy for me to say because I'm not an extra, but I would assume the numbers are down on HF compared to what they were during the heyday of radio. I could be totally wrong, though. Maybe all the new hams are jumping on HF, but it seems like there is a lot of open space on the bands, so I don't know. I've never really experienced it crowded other than contesting. And, I wish I could embrace code, too. I tried. I can learn the letters. Like, I could send them, and I think that would be pretty straightforward for me. It's hearing them. That's where I struggle. Same as you, Sean. I've never been good at learning other languages and things like that. So it's a dream. I chipped away at it a little bit. I learned, like, 12, 13 letters, and then I realized that when I was trying to listen to it, I couldn't really hear much or understand it. So still back at square one.
That's how I am. I started trying to learn it, and I started getting confused. I'm like, oh, you know, I just could not comprehend the dots and the dashes and trying to picture it in my mind. Where here talking is a lot easier for me, and that's basically why I got my tech license. It's just basically for VHF and UHF. You know, and talking to my friend down south. But now, because of you guys, look at me, I got digital and all that other neat stuff, so. But I like where I'm at. I like the tech bands.
I'm just curious, generally speaking, how many on frequency right now are using any solar recharging capability, if you don't mind me asking. And I'll answer that myself before I throw it out. I have a couple solar panels in the window. They get enough solar charging that I can recharge a battery over time. A good battery, not a small battery. I'm talking about a radio backup battery. And get enough sunlight, especially in the winter time when the sun is at about a 45-degree angle in the south. So if my panels point south, so there you go. In summertime, it gets pretty good overall reflection enough to charge up. It takes several hours, but it works. It's free. KE4ZYQ, over to you, Sean.
Well, first to address Tom's thing with, being happy here, as a tech, I think that's true. There's a lot to do and a lot of fun. You know, they give you a little taste of HF with 10-meter. I think that's why they do that. Kind of give you a little taste, but it's, hit and miss, feast or famine with 10, and you learn, boy, I love that. And,
But you know, the big thing is that, you know, things like All-Star nodes and digital hotspots and stuff like that has taken a little bit of the incentive away, because, you know, now you can get your tech, you know, get yourself an All-Star node, get yourself a digital hotspot, and you're talking all over the world, just like, you know, you couldn't do that just a short time ago. And so, you know, the incentive to upgrade to, you know, from tech was huge if you wanted to talk around the world, but nowadays, not so much. So there's that, you know. Technology changes the hobby as much as anything, you know, well, completely. You know, I had requirements, you know. They got rid of the last Morse code coastal stations years ago now, so there's that. Joe, solar, I don't have any yet. I've got a really nice inverter. You know, it's not just a small inverter. This is a really good one to, like, you can run at your house, run some circuits off it. And I've been thinking about getting some banks of batteries and getting that inverter system running, you know, and then using solar to, you know, keep it topped off as much as I can. You know, have it use that when it can, and then, you know, of course, you know, have it be able to get from the mains if it can. But nothing yet, though. No solar. My experience with it to date has not been great, so I don't. I think Dakota, on the other hand, has had some experience with solar, and good and bad. Well, I don't know about good. I know he's had bad. And if I'm talking about those mesh plastic boxes, when I heard him say winter, but yeah, Dakota has a different perspective on that. W8FU. Yeah, I've never had much luck with solar. Granted, these were cheap Chinese. I mean, they're all Chinese, I'm sure, but not great quality panels. And being in Michigan in the winter, good luck. Like, I just checked one of my cameras. I have four solar cameras outside, and the one that has the most motion, I'm going to have to get up on my 8-foot ladder today, take it down and charge it, because it's too cold to charge. So that's my complaint with solar. That's not necessarily the solar panel's fault. It's the battery protection inside the unit. But, yeah, I know there's better stuff out there. I know I want to jump into it, but I do have a generator. I do have fuel. I do have battery banks. I do have life bows. I did find another battery company that I think I'm going to give a shot. It's called EcoWorthy. They're super cheap on Amazon, but have super good reviews. And from what I've read, all cells come from China. It's just a matter of their A-class or B-class or C-class or whatever they rate them as. But these EcoWorthys are supposedly pretty good, and you can get a 50-amp-hour for like $150 or something stupid cheap. So I plan on getting one of those and just keeping it on a tender and using that as needed, or if I need it at any point. 50-amp-hours will give me tons of talk time on pretty much any of my radios at any power, 100 watts or less, that is. So, yeah, I don't use anything yet. I've got, like I said, I got batteries but no solar, but it's on the list. But on that note, I got to jump out here. I'm at the office, so good roundtable this morning. It was very, very good conversation. I learned a lot. So I'll catch everyone later, maybe this afternoon. If not, have a good day. N8DVF.
Yep, 7-3 from KE4ZYQ. I got a little more on solar panels and batteries if anybody wants to hear.
N8-3 Dakota, KCK Joe. And yeah, Sean, it's, you know, even on the DMR, you know, I did the worldwide thing when I first got on a DMR and stuff. And now it's, I mean, you can't get in a word in edgewise. It's almost like CD for DMR, I guess you can say. You got to really jump in there, try to jump in there, and I stopped doing it. I like the local stuff. I like the East Coast Reflector, you know. That's where I usually stay. We're on, of course, MI5. But besides that, I haven't been on the Worldwide for about a year. There's just too much in there. KCK Joe.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Well, anybody looking at solar panels, I found a great company that seems to be okay with what I got, and that is Renogy, 100-watt panels, and that's the firm ones, not the semi-flexible. The actual aluminum ones are pretty good, and the monocrystalline are better solar collectors than polycrystalline. Monocrystalline are the better of the two. And EcoFlow has some sales on at Costco, selling EcoFlow battery backups, LifePole 3, LifePole 4, I think, and they got some panels there that may come with some of them if you want. But EcoFlow is a definite good long-lasting. And the EcoFlow Delta 3 has like a 10-year life cycle that keeps up to at least 70 to 80% of its battery power. 10 years, provided you take care of it, charge it, use it properly. KE4ZYQ.
Well, one of these days I plan on exploring that a little bit, but not today. Not anytime soon, but definitely worthwhile. Did we lose Jerry? Jerry, where the hell did you go? I haven't heard you in several rounds.
Yeah, still headed home. I got an email from eBay warning me about the battery seller he was selling lithium batteries, and it was Samsung lithium batteries. They're supposed to be the best rated, and I needed some for my Lab 599 battery pack.
Now here's a question in regards to batteries. What about like a camper battery, RV battery? Would those work, or what is a marine battery? You know, for like a battery power kind of thing? Or is that something that wouldn't work? Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, we used to use those a lot before, you know, LiPo and all this other stuff. Marine deep cycles were how you run your gear, you know, but those are a lead acid. And I believe they are, yeah. And so they have their moments, but you know, I don't know how they take the solar charging. I imagine they would. I don't know, you know, those, you know, you would keep charged with a trickle charger off your AC mains, and you know, and then you know, give you a nice long battery life for operation. But those were kind of the norm for the longest time, and I don't know, you know, what is it about the deep cycle marine type batteries that are no longer, in vogue. You know, how are they being beat? Somebody knows more about it than I guess. Man, I'll tell you what, I am early downtown Mount Clemens. And it's like a ghost town. Huh, I'll be darned. Got jury duty today, and I'm just going into the structure, the park.
KE4ZYQ, talking about charging batteries, a lead acid are a different animal when it comes to charging and lifespan. And like Sean was saying, trickle charging those. With the LifePole 4s or the lithium ion batteries, like I have I can't think of the name, a Yeti 1000. That's just a lithium ion. It's not a LifePole 4. But you could charge some of them if they're made. You could as you're using them. So whatever's going out is percent of power draw, and then you can charge it with a solar input, so it can work almost like you're working off sunshine directly. But that's what's neat about LifePole 4s or lithium ion as opposed to just lead acid. Totally different animals, and they have their purpose and their ability. KE4ZYQ.
Go ahead, Jerry. I'll go after you.
Okay, so I'm almost home. I'll make this my last. Yeah, I have solar panels on my roof, and 12-car batteries to run my station, but that was right back in the 90s. I think the panels kind of wore out, so I had a new roof installed this year, and I just took them off. Let's see. The only other solar applications, I got a G-Shock radio, a watch, and it's got a solar panel in it. I tend to, leave it in my west window, in my master bath, and, let it charge all day since I work midnight shift. Go ahead, KG8Z is 7-3, I'll have a good day.
7-3, Jerry, check if I've got it. Yeah, like I said, I use SLAs for all my alarm equipment, because, they're better. Because with a lithium ion or a LiPo, when it gets to near the end of its discharge, it just dies. Just that's it, done. Where at least with an SLA, it drains a little bit more slowly. And you have time to replace it and everything else like that. And then the trickle charge and the battery maintained. I've never messed with the lithium ions, but we use all SLAs and all our alarm equipment and fire equipment because of their reliability and their length of and their lifespan.
I'm not sure who's left here other than Sean and the gentleman that just spoke there, but 7-3 to all. Have a good day at work or a good day home or whatever. From KE4ZYQ. Listen it out.
I got to jump out. I just parked in the at the court. I'm going to make my way toward the jury room. Catch everybody later. W8FU.
73 to all. I'm still on my way to Highland Park. I'll be out and about. KAC, KGO.
Yep, 73 to all. Jury duty. Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Hi, hi. KE4ZYQ clear.
KF8TZZ, 88MS, I was going this morning, Keith. Good morning, KKKJL. Didn't get the call all the way through, though.
Hey, EBLS.
Good morning, Lance.
Something
like that. Headed into the office. 12 more days left. Oh, I didn't say good morning. I just said morning, because that's all it is. It's morning.
Yep, it was a hard one to get out of bed, too.
Yeah, I have that morning affliction to get up and ugh.
Yeah, at least tomorrow I get to work from home, so sleeping a little bit and don't have to go anywhere.
Oh, I wish I could do that, but then I have to change jobs. I don't mind being on here. I just hate the people around me that think they're the only ones on the road.
Yeah, I don't find it too bad, but frustrating sometimes when you're stuck in traffic or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. It's like everybody slows down and stops on the freeway, and like, why is everybody slowing down? And then when you get to the end of the congestion, it's like, okay, they're staring at flowers, I guess. There's no rhyme nor reason why everybody slows down, but they slow down.
Yeah, just, I was transmitting my last drum. There was a car in the right lane with their hazards on, going like 5 miles an hour on the highway, and of course everybody in the other two lanes had to slow down too.
Yeah, that is annoying by far.
Yeah, this is where people still think the 75 going through Flint is 55 miles an hour. Every time we go through there, everybody just slows down for no reason.
They did that here on 94 going into Detroit. Everybody slows down, but no reason why.
Yeah, that's, the speed limit goes down to 55, but nobody slows down any more than the speed limit 70.
Yeah, like right here in 94 in 21 mile road. It's slow, we're doing 50 miles an hour, but yet I don't see any reason, I don't see any lights in the distance or nothing, they just slow down, and then, oh, okay, and then they pick back up. You know, and I'm in the middle lane, because I can only do a maximum of 76 miles an hour, which I'm not intending to do currently, because it's a little chilly out there, and I don't need to spin this truck. KCAQJ.
That's called a merge. Anywhere that there might be a possible merge means you have to slow down.
A good old bottleneck? Yeah.
There's no bottleneck. It's three lanes going westbound. You know, and that's all it's going to be is three lanes. So no bottleneck until you get to 75.
Yeah, you get all that traffic coming off a whole road, though.
Well, people pay attention when they get on the freeway. You're supposed to be up the freeway speed on that on-ramp. But people don't like to do it. They're like, oh, and you know, they either zoom in front of you or they slam on their brakes and try to get over, and then they, you know, mess you up when you're going in a nice rhythm.
Right, it's a nice long ramp too. You have plenty of time to get up the speed.
Exactly. Hall Road's got a nice long ramp, and I think Metro Parkway's got a halfway decent ramp too.
And some of them point that you basically, you know, the ramp pops out, and you better be in traffic. You better have an open. There is no. There is no wiggle room here. You're taking a walk here. You're getting the car next to you. I try to avoid those ramps if I can.
Sound like you're going in the hole there. But yeah, there's some ramps I just keep, you know, M59 and 75. I hate that interchange right there. You go from 75 or 70, and you gotta squawk all the way down to 25 to get around the ramp. You don't tip over or run off the road.
You gotta watch for oncoming traffic. You're going out. Yeah, I'm in the hole.
Yeah, you're kind of sketchy there. It sounds like you're coming out of it though. Let's see, right there around. Oh, geez, you can't be near Auburn Hills already.
The hole's in Dixie Highway. Start to lose Holly, and you haven't quite picked up one yet.
You have that hill. That's right in your way.
just drive a hand drive. See if that one works a little better or more.
Yeah, I'm on the Warren machine right now. I'm over here in St. Clair Shores. Sometimes I'll grab the Detroit machine.
Good morning, 0800 hours, cloudy, 22 degrees. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area.
The one thing I despise is a couple of days after a snow is the salt spray. I use only windshield washer fluid from that than any other time of the year.
Oh yeah, I'm the same way. I can't stand it. I'd rather drive in the whiteout than the salt spray.
Yeah, because you're running your, you know, your heat in your truck, you know, your vehicle. The salt spray is wet when it hits the windshield, and then because of the heat inside, it dries up, and then you got this nice little film.
Wipers on it just make it worse, spreading around.
Yeah, it's like spreading icing on a cake, but a very thin layer of it.
Not enough to lubricate the wipers, patterns the whole way around.
Oh, well, it this traffic back up on 696, I am certainly not taking 75 south. I'll go up to Woodward. And I gotta go up to, what is it, 6 Mile in the Lodge, so that's gonna be my safer bet.
Island Park. Old Trace Headquarters. Nowadays would be on YouTube. But, yeah, it was an old HDTV miniseries.
Yeah, there's a couple of YouTube channels that I watched on that. You know, I forgot the name of the guy. Like, well, this house back in the 1920s was a heyday and blah, blah, blah. Now look at it. And also look, you know, 10 years later, here it is. You know, all refurbished, high-end. I mean, they did that along the Cass Corridor, they did it along Woodward. You know, they still got to do some more in the, you know, in the suburbs, you know, just outside of Detroit. But yeah, they're pretty interesting to watch. KC2GO Freddy.
What I found is Sanborn Construction, a little construction company that they do the land bank houses, and they'll have investors come in and fix this house up. They're out in some other state somewhere and bought the house not sight unseen, and they go in there and fix it up, and the investor goes and makes money.
Now there's a house. I think it's in, Sherwood Forest or something like that off of Woodward. The old Cardinals Mansion is what it is. It belonged to the church, and then a basketball player bought it, and he moved out. And it was up for sale, and now they're going to, and somebody else bought it. They're redoing it from the inside out, including the carriage house and everything. It's the largest house in Detroit, and it's historical, so they're really going to town on it and bringing it back up, and I think it's pretty neat.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Cloudy. 23 degrees.
WHBD Mobile.
Good morning, 1000 hours. Sunny. 25 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy. 25 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, cloudy, 25 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, cloudy, 25 degrees. Good afternoon, 1400 hours, cloudy, 26 degrees.
So, how fun is that? But it gets me out of the house.
Yeah, it's important to get out. I work so much from home that, like, right now it's like, man, I feel like I haven't been out of the house in 4 days. So it's nice when I get to go see the, well, no sunlight now, but yeah, you know what I mean, the daylight, let's say.
Yeah, it gets to where you appreciate the little errands that you got to do just to get you out. Because, yeah, your brain and everything goes stagnant, and the gray doesn't help, but at least you're out, so that's cool, and you get to appreciate it. Another reason I went out to lunch, I'm like, I've just been sitting home, really, probably since Thanksgiving. I don't think I've gone anywhere. So I went to breakfast on Sunday, so that was something. So anyway, anything else going on? What's new and exciting?
Not too much going on. Just, you know how it is with younger kids and that. So got Christmas coming up and trying to get everything done and ready here for the holidays. So it's been pretty busy, both work and personal, because even work is, you know, everybody's trying to get caught up before the holiday break or get things kicked off before the holiday break. So, but yeah, I think we got to try to schedule a meetup one of these days, or breakfast or something, because I'm really interested to pick your brain. I thought I overheard you say an FT8 over satellites or something, and you caught my attention with that, and I'm kind of curious to sit down and understand that.
W-A-E-A-P. Oh, for sure, yeah. We just had a breakfast on Sunday over in Chesterfield. I don't know if you're on the Who Cares or the FBI Discord. Get on one or both of those. And I think it was on the FBI one leading up to it. So, yeah, and we'll do more. So I'll try to keep you in the loop if one comes up as well. Or anytime. We can always go meet for breakfast or lunch or whatever. Yeah, it's FT4 through one particular satellite, and a little bit of tinkering to figure it all out, but I got it working, and I really like it, so it's cool. Heard you in there, Eric. Go ahead, KE8BSI.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi. It's amazing. I'm transmitting right now. I can hear myself on that DM32. It's not desensing. Usually it's impossible to hear yourself on a repeater in real time when you're keyed up on another radio. Anyhow, any of you guys heading up to 14 and John R? The $9 special. They got 7 left. But it'll be like... $2 or $3 in gas in a couple hours to do it. Because, you know, you can't just walk in the Micro Center for 5 minutes.
KEA TFM. What's the $9 special? I'm actually going to be in the area, but I'm not going to walk in the Micro Center, I don't think, because it'll be a rabbit hole that gets me off track this evening. But I'll be at 15 in John R., actually. That's my second stop.
Well, it's a Bolfang UV5RX. The X model is a tri-band aircraft frequency capture. So it's like a big step up from a regular UV5R, and they're $9 at Micro Center, which is weird. I don't really associate them with radio gear. But I looked at other stores around the country, not that I would go there, but and it seems like they have, you know, anywhere from 7 to 20 radios in each store. Now that I just said that, they're probably going to be gone in the next 20 minutes. Whoever's out there near 14 and John Eric's going to run in there and probably buy them all. But anyhow, yeah, $9 and some change.
Yeah, that's a crazy deal.
I were close by, I would definitely go get one just because it's $9 and I know what it is. It's, you know, for $9 it's a heck of a radio. Just to have all those bands and whatnot, but not close enough, so I won't be doing that. Interesting sale, though, for Micro Center.
I'm going there right now, buying all 9 radios.
Sorry, buddy. One per customer, just like the Raspberry Pis. No, I don't know about that. But, yeah, they have them for $19 on Amazon, the same radio. The best deal I've ever seen is they had two K61s for $18, and they had like the microphones, the three antennas, programming cable, everything. That was the best deal I've ever seen on radios. But 9 and some change is still a good deal. Probably about $10 with tax.
What's your dedicated ham store in Michigan?
Yeah, we had one called Michigan Radio. Went under because everyone started buying online.
That's bad.
Pick it up, Davian.
Yeah. Oh, man. $9. Yeah, maybe I'll stop by. Because I'll practically be driving past the place. I usually don't like going in there, though, because I find other stuff I need. But yeah, for $9, maybe I'll go in and buy one. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, if you're going to do one, do two. Pick up two. One for me.
I was just going to say, if you go, get me one.
Yeah, all right. If I go, I'll buy three of them then.
Just don't look at any other Black Friday deals. Don't look at the other deals.
And that'll force a breakfast or a lunch or some sort of get-together for the swap as well.
Yeah, the gears are already... We're already turning when you said, get me one. I'm like, there we go. We get the satellites out of the way. Yeah, I'll probably stop. That'll wind up what I do. So, yeah, let's see. 2:30, drop off. Then 3. Yeah, probably around 3:30 or 4 is when I'll wind up getting there.
Hey, Greg, are you using that Bluetooth mic I sold you? If not, I'd like it back if you're not using it, because I have a use for it now. I didn't before.
I tinkered with it, and I don't know, I imagine someday I may tinker with it again, but as far as an actual use, no, it'd probably be better off in your hands if you got a use for it. So, yeah, we could do that, too.
This is WEAP.
KEA-TFM. Yeah, Eric, I've been playing with the 950, and I don't like it. It feels like the receive on shortwave is the front end's just saturated. If I turn the LNA to the lowest setting, it's like it does nothing. So I'm hoping it's something they can fix in the firmware, but I would say I'm not really impressed with it.
Well, you can't test it lately because the bands have been crap. But should be able to pick up 4840 kilohertz at night. There's been a few nights that I couldn't pick them up at all. So it's atmospheric conditions. So I wouldn't give up on it yet. Because my 920 receives shortwave really well.
Real quick, I got to agree on the band conditions, so I would give it another week and see. Anyway, I'm at my stop. I'll check in with you guys when I'm done eating. KEAGBSI, I'm out.
Yeah, the bands have been bad, but I'm basically just comparing it to my 705 and the what's the other one, the 880 or 860. I don't even know which one it is, but like at least when I change the LNA settings on the other one, it feels like it's working and doing what it's supposed to. But on this one, it just seems saturated all the time. So yeah, I can hear the station, but I can't. I also hear a whole lot of noise and everything with it too. You know, that's really what my complaint is with it. So, yeah. Now, again, that was one night of testing, but yeah, the 1440 was coming in really good on the Monday show, VORW. So I should have my request next Friday because he didn't do my request on this show. So we'll see.
Yeah, he hasn't done my request in a couple weeks. Here's another thing, Davian. You cannot, absolutely cannot have it charging while you're trying to listen to shortwave, number one. Number two, you can't have anything near it charging. I mean, just the radio sitting next to it being charged, it just creates so much hash. So make sure you do not have it plugged in and charging.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Like I said, the front end of the receiver has an issue. The LNA is, like, all the way up, and no amount of adjusting the number brings it down or anything. I mean, that's what I noticed. It's just it's picking everything up. I actually could hear a difference when I turned off the lamp next to my desk with the, you know, with the LED bulb in it. I agree. But that's the kind of my point, is that the LNA is like stuck at full sensitivity, and that's, I think, an issue. That's my feeling anyway.
Or it could be user error. We haven't discounted that yet, but yeah. I wish I had one to compare it. I think Dave has one. Come on, Dave, pipe up, man. Have you tried shortwave on yours? Anyhow, yeah. All I know is the 860, the 880, and the 920 are fabulous on shortwave. But yeah. So Dave, if you're out there listening, let us know. It's normal. I haven't heard anything bad about the 950 yet about that. I mean, someone would have surely have complained about it on YouTube or something. Or you could just have a bad radio.
And here we are chit-chatting, and I took the wrong exit. I got on I-75 south instead of Opdyke. I hate when I do that, because, like, where I got to go is right off the exit. Now I gotta go drive all the way to Square Lake Road, take that up the Opdyke, and then drive across. It sucks. KEATFM.
Yeah, we can't chew gum and talk on the radio and drive. I know I do that all the time. And Stu always tells me, like, half a mile later, no, your turn was back there. I'm like, well, yeah, why didn't you say, oh, you were on the radio? I go, I don't care. Just smack me and say, here's the exit. But anyhow, I'll let you drive. I'm going to go mess around with my DM32 a little bit more, work on the code plug. Slowly but surely populating the code plug. So catch you later, Davian. W8EAP.
Wait a minute. What's the DM32?
It's the Motorola look-alike Bofang. It's DMR radio.
really, really nice radio, actually. And they had them on sale, $55 with accessories, like $54 to $57, depending if you want like a microphone or an antenna with it or whatever, extra antenna. But yeah, DM32UV, $55.
See, I got to get on Discord. I'm missing out on all the communications.
Greg? You broke it. You fix it.
I think it's Davey and I heard talking about going to Micro Center.
You better hurry up because of somebody just advertised on Discord that these Bofangs for $9 are available. So somebody might beat you there. Yeah, I don't know who did it on Discord. I just quickly saw it. W8RCY. He's on the way there now. Oh yeah, you're about half hour late on that one.
Well, I'm going to order mine online and have it delivered.
Well, you got to remember, too, this is the UV5RX. The X model has tighter tolerances, and it's a tri-band. It has aircraft, and it has the frequency capture store feature. So it's not your typical UV5R. It looks like a UV5R, but it's got a lot more stuff on it. So it might be a little too much for you. So you're ready for that, or?
Well, it does go outside my normal UHF range, but it just popped up. Let me see what it says here again. Hang on. Chris KDVYA is posting it.
Yeah, I posted that somewhere on Telegram. I posted that on Telegram about 3 o'clock in the morning last night, so it propagated the social media pretty quick.
What do you mean, Telegram? I thought nobody was on Telegram. I don't see anything anymore there.
I still use it. I use it quite a bit. I don't do Discord, but whatever. Then again, I can just text message you if it's something important.
I mean, is there a group out there?
I got off of all social media. I got off of Facebook after being on it forever and a day. And then, after I got my AM ticket,
people
were saying how good Discord is, like, you know, Sean's FBI network and so on and so forth. So that's the only, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I had throat work done again. But, so that's the only social media I'm on. I'm not on anything else anymore. I'm just sick and tired of it. But, so anyway. I'll let you two chatter on. It's nice to hear the old WRTX Brothers radio station again. WARCY.
Nice double, but I heard both of you. Yeah. No, it's just, I'm not really in any groups either, Davey, and I just send messages to individual people there, but yeah. So anyhow, Donald, have a good day. Help you feel better. W8EAP.
All right.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. See, you know, it's cleared up. It just comes and it goes.
PFM, I'm clear.
That's what happens when you're about, I'm about 10 months away from 70, so as long as the voice goes first and not other things that are more important, I can live with that.
You would think that Donald would have accrued a little more wisdom, you know, being on 70 orbits around the sun, but, you know, maybe on the 71st orbit.
No, I'm in my last orbit of the 60s, so the 70 orbit will start in late September of next year. But I have a brother and sister that are going to be 78 and 77 next year, so I've got them for advice if needed.
Well, just think of it this way. The UV5RX would be like Formula 410 or WD-41. Might be a little too strong, so just be careful. Anyhow. Yeah. I'm going to do some work on your neck. You wrote there, I understand. Yeah, you sound fine. I wouldn't worry about that. But I would worry about what they did on the other end.
Well, my Bofang that I have right now, I got as a gag gift from Mike on the Troy GMRS repeater. When I got my ham ticket, he bought it for me, stating that, well, now that you're a ham operator, you need to have a Bofang somewhere in your arsenal. So I have it, and then I just did some extra work on it. And it came out nice, but I only use it locally. As I walk around the campus or something, or I'm in the neighborhood of a campus, because it can hit my node, you know, from like a mile away or whatever. And yeah, so that's all I use it for. But for a nice little knock-around radio, and it's only 5 watts. I could probably get a bigger one. That's what they make them, what, 10 watts now, I think, or more, 10, 12 watts. I don't know. I don't follow them that closely, but just a nice little knock-around radio. I can hit the Warren FBI repeater solidly, so it's all good. It's a fun little thing to play with. I use it about once or twice a week because I rotate between all my radios, the Moto, the Wooks on, Wooks off, and that one.
Yeah, I have a few radios. I'm back up to 42 radios now, or 41. I'm up to 41 radios now. I was down to 36, but then, you know, it'll be 42. I get that radio from Dave, you know, but I'll be up 42.
You can always sell something to Jack. He's always buying. But I was going to ask, what's the wattage on this old thing that you're talking about? Is it 8 watts or something? I just glanced at it briefly, but yeah, I mean, next year I'm going to work on my, over the winter I'm going to work on my getting a bigger, better antenna for my base unit, that XPR5550E from Motorola. That's the winter project, so in spring I can get that up, and I got to find a way to conceal it on my balcony, and I think I've got a good idea of how I'm going to do it. And then I'm just going to point it right down towards Detroit because I can hit all the repeaters in Detroit, you know, mainly on the ham side versus what little bit I talk on GMRS now, except for Troy.
Very good. That little $9 radio, I'm assuming is 5 watts, but you never know. The UV5R Mini, a really diminutive one that everyone's talking about. That actually puts out 5 watts on VHF and like 6.5 watts on UHF, or even some measured even higher. I measured 6, but anyhow. So with that radio, it's hard to tell. Could be 8 watts. Could be anywhere from 4 to 8 watts. I'll let you know, though, when I get it. Doesn't really make much difference in signal between 5 and 8 watts, so it's not really, doesn't really matter. It just eats up batteries more.
KZKJL. on, Tom. I got you. Yeah, looking at it now again, Eric, and the listing from Micro Center, and it doesn't say anything in the specifics how much wattage there is, and as I'm scrolling through it, I don't see anything really. I mean, it just gives me some product information, general, 128 channels, one-year COD, parts and labor stuff, but I mean, it doesn't say a thing on here about wattage at all. That's why I asked. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Tom, is that radio that you just put on Discord? A little UV5W or something like that?
It has a good description on the Bofang website. It's $22 on the website, by the way. $22 on the Bofang website, $20 on Amazon. And I'm looking at it right here, and it doesn't really say either. I'll look up the FCC ID number.
Today, and you better hurry, there's only 7 left in stock at the Madison Heights store. You might have to change your route.
Specifically designed as a tri-band with internal filtering, allows not only, traditional VHF and UHF, 220, 225. So it has internal filtering. I have to look it up on YouTube. It's supposed to be a little bit more of a filtered unit than the typical one.
Yeah, but is 220, 225 receive only, or is it transmit also?
No, it's advertised as an actual tri-band radio, so it definitely transmits. There's something in here saying that the official CPS will allow it to program the 220 band, but if you use chirp, if you use the wrong chirp file, it will remove the 220 band, and there's no way to restore it. I don't believe that, but anyhow, I think there's a separate chirp file now for the tri-band.
I'm still here. I had to walk away for a minute and get some warm water to drink.
I'm still here. I was just ordering 2 of them.
Ordering 2 radios. That's what you're doing.
Well, for 90 bucks, ordered 2 of them. So, my wife and I both have GMRS licenses also, so, and my daughter lives with us, so she could use one. I don't know, it's something neat, I guess. Plus, if you can't get them, you know, when you get there, you can grab those too.
Yeah, like I was saying, last year they had a deal, you get 2 of them with push-to-talk, you know, the hand mics, the long antennas, everything, programming cable, everything for $18. So they actually had 2 of them. They had them for $9, $9.50, $9-something a piece with all the accessories. So that was like the best deal I've ever seen. But still, 2 for, you know, under $20 is still a really good deal. They also have 2 Redivis RT85s for $25 on sale, which is $12.50 a radio. And those are really nice radios, too. But they don't have 220. They don't have aircraft receive.
Where my senior campus is located, I am right in a crossing pattern between Metro Airport and City Airport, and I have a lot of crossover flyovers throughout the year, flying right over my balcony, and I can sit out there and watch them, like, pretty cool. And in the time that I've been here, which is about 13 years now, no, 12 years now, I'm going into my 13th year, there's been a couple of them where you see one fly over or fly under the other one, and it's like, you know, there's a distance there, but it's still enough to make you like, that's a little scary.
They're approaching two different runways.
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, Detroit Metro travels southwest to northeast towards my tower, and City Airport travels southwest to northwest towards my tower. And if you draw two lines, they intersect just south of my actual senior campus. I said, man, that's just, you know, like I said, they're never going to probably collide, but, you know, you never say never.
That's right, I think the plane is from Selfridge flying over my house in Memphis, because we're right in the path, the flight path, there we go, wow, tongue tied today. And obviously enough, and you can hear those warthogs coming in, and when you got one, they always travel in pairs.
Well, in the 80s, I lived, and most of the 90s, 2000s, geez, I could say pretty close up until I retired 10 years ago. I was either in Harrison Township off the south end of the runway, North River Road, South River Road area, or off the north end of the runway when I first got married. And I was in the area of 23 and 94, only a few blocks away from where my girlfriend lives now. And they bank in, the fighter jets would bank in over my house out there. But yeah, you get a lot of things flying around out there. Have you seen any of the new jets in yet? The F-35? Because I thought for sure the Warhawks would be gone by now.
No, they're keeping the Warhawks, I think, for another couple of years from when I was understanding. But who knows? I know they're supposed to be retired by 35.
Okay, copy that. But I'd like to see those when they go. I mean, I've seen everything fly in and out of there in my time from probably, like I said, I moved out of my parents' house to the south end of, south end of the runway in Harrison Township back in 78. And I can remember the Phantoms that flew out there back then. And, of course, the F-16s, they were there for quite a while. But, I kind of miss them, but in a way I don't. But one thing that really caught me off guard out here where I live now. Sorry, my throat. Were the Airbus 380s, those big double-decker commercial jets that fly people in and out. One flew over me one day, and I thought it was a total eclipse of the sun, and that baby was low. But when you saw it, that thing, you know, I've seen Air Force One, and it's a majestic plane. When you see it, you know what it is. But when that Airbus 380 flew over, I says, my God, that thing is huge. And, again, it's up there, you know, a couple thousand feet. But when it flies over, it just took out all the sun for about a matter of a couple seconds. That's a majestic bird for sure.
I just looked it up online, and it's not going to be F-35s. They're the F-15EXs, just like the Bofang. They ordered 20 of the F-15EXs. It's a new version of the F-15. and they just got there in the last few days. There's videos on YouTube of them taking off.
Is there website, or what's the thing on YouTube it's called? What do I look for? Something just called Selfridge Air Force Base, or what?
The name of the video is Awesome F-15E's Takeoff.
I'll be back. I've got another call coming in. KCKJO.
And the video is it's flying over Michigan Stadium. It flew over the football game we lost. I think we did. Anyhow, the Michigan versus Ohio State, they flew over on that.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to sign out and give my voice a rest and drink some more warm water. Because it's now starting to itch more than it is sounding. So, all right, pleasure talking to all of you. We'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
W8EAP.
Micro Center ETA, 4 minutes.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Might have to let you down, boys.
Well, a few minutes ago, there were only 7 left, so... punch it, as they would say, and be safe at the same time.
Punch it. The truck and whoever's holding them when I get there.
I doubled with you, Dave, say again.
Oh, I just said I'll punch it, the truck, and whoever might be holding them when I get there. Whatever it takes.
Hours. Sunny. 28 degrees.
Right. Yeah, I was just saying, the last thing you want to do, though, in reality, is to die for a Bofang.
Especially before I get the Bofang.
All right, very good. Good luck. I am transitioning from the vehicle to the house. This is KE8BSI.
WE8KLL Mobile.
We are KFA-DIC. No contact, KFA-DIC, clear.
WDHKLO on the mobile.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 28 degrees.
W8FU.
So what was more entertaining, a day at the office or a day of jury duty? W8RCY, good afternoon.
I don't know, a day of jury duty ain't bad. You get to, you get to talk to a bunch of people. And it's mostly sitting around playing on the computer. And I had to go up for one potential trial, but we didn't get selected. So back down to the room we went after lunch and waited it out.
Somebody wanting to break in, there's no modulation. Okay then. All right, well, at least, you know, I don't know how many times you've done it before. I was called in once, but I ended up in the hospital years ago when I was in the hospital for back problems. But, they never called me back after I got out of the hospital or anything. I did everything I was supposed to do. Report, and told them 2 days before I was supposed to report that I'm in the hospital. Traction and so on. Sorry about my voice. But, so that's been my only experience.
Well, this is my third, and each time was a little different. First time I went was in the 80s, and in fact, I know exactly when it was now that I think of it. I said it was sometime between 85 and 85 and 90, and now that I think of it, it was either very, very, very late 86 or very, very early 87. I think it was early 87. Anyhow, bottom line is I was 2 weeks you had to go. Every day you had to go. There was no calling in to see if you needed the report. You had to go and sit there all day. And if you got called, that was how it worked back then. And then the next time I went, I can't remember the details. There was one potential case that whole 2 weeks that I got called up for, and they said that it was going to be a very long trial, potentially months, and could be up to months. And who couldn't serve in a case that could potentially take a few months? And all the excuses were just amazing. I heard people giving, I'll lose my business, Your Honor. You're not dismissed. This is happening, that's happening, all these great excuses. So when they got to me, I thought, and this is why I know exactly when it was, but when they got to me, I said, Your Honor, my firstborn child is due in a couple of months, and, within that time frame. And then he says very sarcastically, he says, well, we couldn't have you miss your birth of your first child. And he bangs the gavel and says, you're dismissed. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I got dismissed for that, and I heard all these excuses before me that were fantastic, and he wasn't excusing nobody, so I was surprised.
My mother, back in 92, got called in, and my father was a stage 4 pancreatic cancer case, and we actually had to get documentation to prove her story, saying that, she's the basically everyday caretaker for his needs around the house. And it We actually had to do that for her to be excused to a similar case that was going to take months. And of course, about less than a year later, my dad passed.
Yeah, they were brutal back then. I was amazed that I got off for that. But the guy seemed to be real sympathetic to that. So the next time I served, I've been where I'm at now for 35 years. So, of course, the next time I was on, I would have been working here. But I don't remember when it was. I think it wasn't all that long ago. Maybe 10 years, give or take. I don't know, but... And I actually did get on a case, and I think we heard opening arguments, and we saw some information, and then we came back the next morning, or we came back in the session. I can't remember if we came back the next day or not, but we all sat, and they said, they've reached an agreement, you're all dismissed. So I did get a case on my second time. I don't remember what the details were then. I thought it was... 3 days, called in or something. I just can't recall. This time it was one day. You come in one day, and you either get a case or bon voyage. So I did my day. Now I don't have to do it. Unless it's federal, I don't have to serve again for a year. And how old is it when you can tell them pound sand? I think is it 65 or 70?
I thought it was 65, unless something's changed, because now they're saying, retirement's going to be 70 in the near future, so who knows. But it was 65 back in the early 80s when I was in the hospital with traction.
Okay, I'm just switch repeaters here, so let me know if I'm making it all right.
Your audio is a little crackly on either one, so the switch didn't make any change, but I'm picking you up just fine. I'm just wondering about my voice. My voice is really raw. Other than that, though, it's about the same.
Yep, except one I'm moving closer to, while the other one I'm moving farther from, so I'll go with this crackly one. I can switch over to Warren. I left the... About 1159. Get around this cement truck. The next cement truck catastrophe on 696 here.
Oh, so you're down in the ditch. That could be it. I thought you were up on surface streets. My bad.
Nope, down in the ditch on my way home. Oh, man. So today I got in the selection pool for one case, but they got themselves a jury before I ever got called out of the peanut gallery, so we got to go back down to the room and twiddle our thumbs until just now. They let us go about 10 minutes ago. So all in all, not bad. One day, one and done. Now I just got to decide whether I want to take tomorrow off. I had to call my son and see if he'll be available for grabbing lunch or something. Otherwise, I'll go in.
Well, that sounds like a good plan to do. Yeah. Any time with family is valuable time for sure. So, hopefully that'll work out for you.
Well, I got 8 days to burn between now and the end of the year. And if I take all the days between Christmas and New Year's, that's 5 days. Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. That still leaves me 3 days I got to burn. So I got the rest of this week and then 2 full weeks. And I got to get somewhere in there, I got to get 8 days burn up. I can only take 5 between the holidays maximum. I got to figure out where I'm going to sneak those days in. I figured I'd take a Wednesday or a Thursday. Those are my son's days off. Take one of those off. He and I can catch up. It's been hard with his schedule. But next week, Wednesday, I've got Lansing all day, so I can't do that. So maybe tomorrow's the day. Who knows? We'll have to see. Anywho, still pretty cold. 30, what does it say? 30, can't tell. 33, or is that 38? Got to put my spectacles on to read it.
I'm showing 30 where I'm at, you know, on my little 80-foot perch up in the sky. But, yeah, it hasn't changed much at all today. Looks like the sun's trying to come through a little bit because it's been overcast all day, but I haven't been watching the weather that closely. I've just been busy doing other things and just haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, I threw the spectacles on. 33, the car says. Makes sense down here on the freeway with all the cars. It's always a couple degrees warmer. So, although, hot air rises. You're up there. I know it gets awfully hot. You got the furnace on? Or are you still getting the heat from everybody else?
I've only actually run the furnace a couple of times, like in the morning when I'm up, just to get the cool nip or cold nip out of here. Other than that, no, it's off. And but it doesn't seem to be, the registers don't seem to be as hot as they've been in recent years. You know, I mean, there were times I couldn't even touch them. They were so hot. But in checking them, yeah. But no, I haven't really run it much. It hasn't run, you know, probably in a few days. Like I said, when it was really cold and the wind was blowing, my bedroom window has a draft in it, and so sometimes the bedroom gets a little cold, but it's tolerable, and I really don't have to run the furnace. It is off.
All right. Yeah, I know you. I know you said it's pretty warm in there with all the heat rising from all the other units. That's why I asked if the heat had ran. I was going to take 696. I was going to blast straight on through, go over to Holiday Market. But as usual, the road's all boogered up right here at the Quinner. So heck with that. I'm getting off.
Wait, yeah, even with that westbound stuff, I'm hearing they're still sluggish as they do the transfer over from the westbound side to the eastbound side that's newly constructed. There's sometimes traffic's backed up in the morning to Ryan or Mound. And but I haven't heard Anthony on the radio, so I don't know if he's had any issues with it.
I was going to say, is westbound open? Are they running both directions? You know, just got it shut down to one side, or is it just eastbound open now? I don't know what they did, because, you know, I mean, for the longest time, only westbound was open, and there was no eastbound traffic at all, and I wasn't sure if they were going to then have eastbound only, no westbound, or if they were going to try to do both on one side. Do you have any idea?
Eastbound is still shut down, and what they did a couple weekends ago was do the lane shift, so all the westbound traffic is now on the newly paved eastbound side. So if you were coming from Lansing back to Detroit, you would have to do it, or back to this side, you would have to do like you did before, take the Lodge into the Davidson and Davidson back up, just like it's been before. So that hasn't changed. They just did the major lane shift. Moved the westbound to the eastbound, and they closed, I think, four or five exit ramps. But Woodward and a few more between there and Telegraph. There's only four exit ramps you can get off of going westbound in the eastbound lanes. They got it shifted that way.
No, that's interesting. I wonder why they decided to do that instead of just, you know, shut down westbound for the first half of the project and then shut down eastbound for the second half, or vice versa, you know. wonder why they keep westbound open the whole time and keep eastbound shut down the whole time. I wonder why they chose to do it that way. I would have thought they would have, opened up the eastbound side and closed down the westbound side.
Well, like we've known before, about the traffic patterns and stuff like that on the north side of 696, the options they would have versus what they did, like I said just before with the lodge to the Davidson and the Davidson over to 75 and back up. That worked out conveniently while they were working on the eastbound side. One of those options to do it on the westbound side, I don't think they had those options, so they just decided to do the major lane shift and move it over to the eastbound side and keep eastbound closed and just run it like they're doing now with the trip down to the Davidson. That would be my assumption. But I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a really good civil engineer. I haven't worked for the Army Corps of Engineers, and I have yet to stay in a Holiday Inn Express.
I see. All righty. Well, who knows? I do got to go to Lansing next Wednesday, not tomorrow. So I'll have to deal with that. I'll be able to take the westbound out. But coming back, I may take the northern route 69 to 75. It always seems to work pretty well, seeing as it's not my petrol, not my wear and tear. I'll take it.
W-8-R-C-Y. Yeah, the only thing you'd have to worry about, really, is the weather conditions. That would be the only difficult part. But, yeah, you should have no problem getting out there westbound, maybe just give yourself a little extra time, but which would be natural in these kind of situations. But, yeah, you should be good, other than the weather.
I'm waving. I'm just passing by. I can no longer see your window. Just passed. But, yeah, I'll tell you what. I went out there a few years ago. It was January, February. I don't know, somewhere March. I don't know. It was in the first quarter, and I went out there, and we had the absolute most treacherous road conditions I had ever driven in, ever, period, end of story, full stop. It wasn't just on that trip. They were horrible. The ice ruts on the highway, and I drove all the way out there in that, and I really didn't need to, but I was new to the, it was a few years back, and I was new to the my position out there, and I didn't want to disappoint. But so I battled it out there. Oh my God, it was the most white knuckle drive I'd ever had. In retrospect, I'd never do that again.
I remember once in my days at Farmer Jack's, I was living in St. Clair Shores, and I had to drive all the way out to Plymouth and, oh, gosh, I can't remember the cross street, but it's normally about an hour's drive, and this is before 696 was built, and it took me about 2.5 hours to get there because they had no meat-cutting crew, and I was able to get out there. My normal store was in Harper Woods there at 7 Mile and 94 there. That was the Farmer Jack's I was working at the time, and my supervisor calls me up and says, "We got nobody at that store. Do you think you can get out there?" I said, "Well, yeah." And I had a Camaro, and I said, "But, don't expect me to be there at, 8 o'clock. I got there about 9:30, but I would have left at the normal time to 7 o'clock to get there at 8, and it was treacherous, but, I got reimbursed for gas and other things and paid overtime, for the extra driving, so back then it was worth it, because the money was more valuable than what it is today versus the pay. I mean, my pay
you know, so on and so forth, was much higher quality than what it is today.
Yuppers did it all for the money. So, all right, Donald, I am making the final approach to the house here. Make this my final. Get inside. Get out of the business casual and into my sweats. Figure out what the rest of the evening looks like. Figure out if I'm going to put in for the day off tomorrow. Thanks for the drive, and we'll catch you later. W8FQ.
Yes, have a nice, comfortable, quiet evening. Hope you do take it off. You've had a very, very stressful day, and you deserve time with your son. So all the best on there, and I apologize for my voice. It's kind of raw. I was a little bit under the weather last night, and let's say a lot of reverse gearing was going on, and I lost my voice. So, but I'm all better and able to eat and drink again. So, all right, have a good night, and we'll catch you later on in the week. W8RCY.
Well, were they guilty? Maybe it was.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees.
KCAKJO, Alpha Delta 8, Oscar Delta.
What is going on, sir?
Not so much. Just started my 2-minute drive home, and I heard you there. Don't normally talk because it's so short.
Yeah, I just came out of Micro Center, and I bought 2 of those ball fangs for like $9.
Yeah, I saw somebody link those. That is a pretty good price on those, but they're still not the best radio.
Oh, they're not 100% perfect, but, you know, they do serve a purpose here and there.
Yep, just good presence for first people, figure stuff out, curve compatible. Yeah, they're all right.
I know that WAEAP and WRCY were talking about them. They said, I better get over there and get some before they're all gone. Well, guess what? They're all gone.
Yeah, Mr. RCY just sent me his completed picture of his Bofang build with the protector and the case and the whole deal.
I hear my ears burning, W8RCY.
Oh, speak of the devil. What's going on, Donald?
So I think you need to get one. I did order one. I don't really need any more HGs than what I have. And I've got the original Bofang version 1, and it's only 5 watts. But, yeah, I posted some pictures of a little bit of custom work I did with it, and I'm going to do with it. It's just a local radio. I can hit the local repeaters here in the area of Madison Heights with it, and I also have a node connected to it. So for local little things around here, if something happens to it, I'm basically out about $85
for the whole thing as you see it in the pictures. I stepped on John there. Go ahead, John, if you're not already home.
Turn into the sub, but I probably got this last one in me. Yeah, I was just asking if you were talking on that, your pimped out UV5R, Donald.
If I doubled, I apologize. No, excuse my voice, it's shot. I'm not today. I'm on the KGB59PX, so, yeah, that's, like I said, the Bofang I got as a dad gift when I got my ham license a little over a year ago. Somebody bought it for me because you can't be a ham operator and not have a Bofang in your radio fleet. And finally I pulled it out and started tinkering with it and added a few pieces to it.
What you need to do is go find some throat lozenges I use. It's called Thieves. You got to find a Thieves distributor. Thieves spray is great for sore throats. I used to use it when I used to announce horse pills all week, and by Wednesday my voice was hoarse. Spray that in there, and I was good for another 4 days.
I have arrived home, so this will be fine. See you guys on the other side. Easy to do.
Okay, you have a good night. Yeah, the last couple of weeks I've had my throat scoped a couple times now, and it's just raw and dry from having, you know, tubes down it and stuff, but I got to be careful what I put down it, and throat lozenges is one of those things they just don't recommend right now. But I'm on medication, and it comes and it goes. One minute it's fine, the next minute it gets rough and scratchy. That's just life in a big city. But, I don't plan on getting any more radios unless I hit the lottery and I buy an APX or something that's B25 capable. But that would be about it.
Well, I couldn't beat the price. They're $9.70, so I spent a whole $30 on three of them. And since they're so cheap, we can modify them and turn them into a Fox, you know, like WUO did. So figure out how he did that. See if we got that little module, maybe make another Fox.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot you can do with those radios. You can do a lot with my Wuxon. This Wuxon's been done things to it, so it's just not a 2 meter and 70 centimeter. There's a couple other bands in it, but I don't really talk a lot of VHF, so this is kind of like my SHTF radio. I got a little bit of everything in it that I need, but the Bofang is a fun little thing that I played with that I did with zero cost, and I probably invested between the antenna, the extended battery, the microphone, the exoskeleton was gifted. Probably, I know, I don't even think it was anywhere near $50.
I got a little bit more invested in radios. I mean, my Linko here, 2 meter 440 mobile, that was $350. Should have got the digital tip, but I didn't. Then I got my XPR 4550. That was $100, $150. And then I got the MD9600 from a Silent T estate. That was $100. Then I just picked up another Bofang DM1701. It got open GD77 on it. That one was like $50. So I did pretty good. And then, of course, I got the VHF B25 over here that I'm messing around with.
Well, when I invested in my motos back in 2019, I have a total of six of them. Five of them are here. One's up north. I got four HTs and one, and two, excuse me, I can't do addition. four HDs and two base units, and one I have to, I might have to get rid of because it's not ham radio compatible. There was a mistake made in the ordering. And I ended up getting that radio for free, but because it was their mistake on their end, not mine. But so right now on my desktop, I have three HDs and one XDR 5550E. And the project over the winter is to work on my outdoor antenna. I got to do my best to conspicuously hide up on my open sky balcony, and we'll go from there. But that's the project over the winter. I got an idea of what I want to do. Got some ideas written down on a napkin with a Sharpie routine. But I just got to figure out a way to run the coax through the door wall. Because you're in the process of repairing my door wall that leaks up at the top, and I don't want to, you know, make anything worse than what they already are.
Well, I get that, though, so I don't have a base at home. I got the All-Star note now, so that makes it a whole lot easier.
Oh, yeah, the nodes are the greatest thing in the world, but, you know, unless you're, you know, run a lot of DMR and things like that where you can plug in stuff or have node connections like this to the FBI, which I don't, it works fine, but I still want to get an outside antenna. I might be putting up a beam and just point, I mean, I can see the downtown skyline from my balcony, and I can just put a beam up there and point it right down Detroit's throat. Hit quite a few repeaters there. Mount Clemens, the GMRS, I have, what, Mount Clemens repeaters out there and a couple of GMRS repeaters that are about 12 and a half to 13 miles away, and I can still hit them on my HT. And then I have the Troy repeater that's the closest repeater. No, not really. I would say probably the Warren double nickel now is the closest repeater. But they're all within 5 miles away, and I can hit them on 1 watt on HT. But, yeah, I still want to get the mobile base unit thing going with what it is capable of doing full capacity and not always rely on the node.
Oh, I get it. I'm still going to get a... you know, like a Tram Magmon or something like that, and then I got an NACQ little mobile that I got from K8YDU. I got a power supply for it. I'll put it up in my kid's old room, and I can fish the antenna up into the attic and put a steel plate up there and mount it on the steel plate on the beams, and that way I can have a mobile too.
I also have to build some kind of a mount for it or a pole because I cannot affix it to the railing of my balcony. It won't allow us to do that. So you get the bucket of cement or an umbrella stand. I got to get a pole that's about 4.5 to 5 feet high to clear the railing and then put either a the beam that I might just do or put a small omnidirectional on a ground plane plate that we have available that we use in racing. It's like about a 6x6 inch plate with an NMO mount capability, and I can just screw on there a variety of antennas on that and tuck it into the corner of my balcony. But yeah, I've got options. It's just a matter of drawing it all out and starting to purchase stuff after the first of the year. So when the spring rolls around, I can throw it up. I can actually build it and probably stand it up in my living room, but like I said, the biggest trick I have is just running the coax, you know, through the door wall. I really don't want to put a couple of brakes in there running that flat ribbon stuff that you can get for windows and door walls, but if I have to, I will. Again, there's options, and I'm just now starting to look at dotting the T's and crossing the I's, so to speak. Put it all together.
Well, hold that thought for a minute, because I might have something for you, but I just got a phone call. I'll be right back. KCKO.
anything in detail.
Good evening, 1800 hours, clear, 27 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours, clear, 26 degrees.
KBAWTA.
Good evening, 2000 hours, cloudy, 25 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours, cloudy, 26 degrees.
WEAKLO.
KFA-DIC.
What's happening, Jack? How you doing?
Oh, nothing except a little bit busy on the computer. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. Just play a little radio, watch a little TV. About it. Went to the doctor today.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't do nothing. I stayed home all day. And I just went out to the mailbox. It was so cold. I came back and said, I ain't going outside in this cold weather. And this morning was worse.
Yeah, it's like 25 out now. So, yeah, it's definitely a cold snap for us. I got some thin sweatpants, and I said, oh, I got to retire those and put those away and get some thicker ones out. But, yeah, anyways, I was on 20 meters a little bit today, Jason Sapota around, but down at 10 and got a few stations. Seemed like they're all south, Cayman Islands and Barbados and places down that way, Chile.
Well, I was on 10 meter. I finished from GM. After that, about 10, 15 minutes, because I had to have some coffee. And I was on 10 meter, and I made two connections on the 10 meter. And I got on the 20. It was a few people from out of the United States, too. Out of the of the country. It was three, four different people on 20 meter today. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you'll catch them on 20 every once in a while. 20s. 20s, the band went down normally, so. Just been doing the POTA. I've been catching POTA on 40 and 80 and 20 and that when the DX isn't open, but yeah, that's been about it.
Yeah, I really don't know. I was busy here at home trying to do some work around, make a few changes here and there. I still have things to do here before we get into Christmas. And I haven't been shopping at all. I need to go shopping, and I have not done that yet. But tomorrow probably I will do that. But this morning really it was cold, and I said, I ain't going now. So I went back to sleep, fell back to sleep, didn't wake up till about 11:30.
Yeah, I had to, you know, I don't know if I told you, they ended up deciding to replace my transmission rather than rebuilding it. So they gave me a loaner car, and a brand new Silverado with like 300 miles, and I had it just before Thanksgiving. And they called me, and they asked me to bring it back because they sold it. So I had it for like 3 or 4 days, so I had to run it back to them and swap it out for another one. And they put me in another Silverado, but yeah, I've been messing around with that.
Well, they haven't fixed the original truck yet, correct?
No, they decided that it was... to repair it, it was going to cost more than a new transmission, so they're going to replace it. So they've got a new transmission on order, but they have no idea the ETA. So they gave me a loaner, which is all right, but it'll be covered under warranty.
That's good. You're getting a new transmission. Also, make sure before you walk out of there, make sure... The warranty again.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how that's all figured. I don't know if they, you know, say another 100,000 miles or 5 years. Probably, that's probably what it is, because it's the GM's powertrain is 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first. So I'm assuming they probably... just, you know, renew that.
I think they're going to go for 100,000 miles. They have to. They don't have no other choice because that transmission was not 100,000 miles.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. WDA KLL for ID. Yeah, so you got your snowblower ready, Jack?
One of them, the other one, I don't know. I haven't touched it. I was going to do a little work today, but I couldn't. It was too cold this morning. Anyhow, I was out there at Saginaw last night. Then Mike was out there, too.
Oh, you mean the Saginaw Net?
Yeah, the Saginaw Net, and the guy really appreciated me when I was there on the net. I guess his name is not Mike. I can't remember right because I asked him, I said, thank you for running the net. And he answered me, oh, thank you, I really appreciate you. Come on back to us here in Saginaw.
Yep, that's pretty much the nature of all the net operators. They love to have new people into the nets, for sure. And everybody loves you, Jack, that's for sure.
Roger that. The only people they don't let me is the TMRS people. You got that one guy out there. He is no good son of mine.
Yeah, but that's on the other side. You don't need to worry about those people.
I tell you one thing, Greg. I'm glad I'm out of there anyhow. It took me a long time, but I'm glad I'm out of there. I ain't going back over there at all. Today was another day, another yo-yo out there, and he started this and started that. I didn't say nothing. I was just listening. That's all.
Yeah, I don't hear anything anymore up here, so our repeater's down, and I'll hear Chad and Mike and Chuck and maybe Sherman every once in a while and Jimmy. That's about it.
Well, yeah. Anyhow, just forget about that side. Anyhow, that's what I'm not thinking. I have one guy, Rando, out there by the airport. And he's an old fella. I mean, he's okay, but he had surgery, you know, and I just was worried about him. And I know him since the year 2023. That's why I just to find out where, you know, how he's doing, that's all.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, and I guarantee you appreciate that, too. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's really the only guy I've kind of been talking to over there is Jimmy, is a younger guy, and trying to get him to get his ham ticket, helping him, you know. I bought him a technician book. He said he was really having trouble with watching the... or doing it on a computer, so I bought him that book, and I just gave him that harvest antenna. He was having trouble with his, so I just gave him that. But you know what? I kind of like being his helmer, so to speak.
So you give that harvest antenna to him?
I did. Yep. WDA-KLO.
WFADRC. Yeah, that's nice from you. You gave him that. But I don't know if he's going to get a 2-meter, 70-centimeter antenna or no.
Yeah, he's got a diamond dual bander as well. He's got a tower he just put up, a 40-foot tower. So he's been studying. He said he's struggling, though. He's getting 52, 62, 65. He said he's read that book 1,000 times. And I told him, I said, you know what? It took Jack a few years to get his, so just keep at it. You know, and he says every time he gets a minute in the truck when he's delivering, you know, stuff around during the day when he's working, he's looking at his phone on the, you know, on that app. So I hope he keeps at it. He's a good kid.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? It took me a really long time. I mean, look, at 99, a year 1999, I couldn't pass the Morse code, but I passed the test because there was not much test going on back then. The thing is, was it Morse code, and that's what killed it. And I said, forget it, and look how long it took me. 25 years took me after that.
I think it's a great story, and I love it. You did it, Jack. You're, you know, and you're going to get your general next.
You know what? Land Cruiser, they got one on the 7. They got Hammerfest on the 7, and he can take a test over there. So I might go there and get a test for general.
You say the 7th, that's next Sunday.
Yeah, next Sunday, they got tables already set up and all that, and that's what's going to be on Sunday.
Yeah, good deal. All right, well, you've been studying, I hope.
Every day, like half an hour, you know. It's not much really to study because I took one test and I failed with 14. So it's not bad, really.
Yeah, you gotta get better than that, though. You can only fail, was it 9, I think, right?
But, you know, starting tomorrow, I might go for like an hour study all the way through before the 7th. And that's what it's a good thing. Maybe that guy, that's what he needs to do, Greg. Ask him if he can do like 1 week or 2 weeks before the study, because it's easy to remember about a week or something like that. Easy to remember the questions and answers.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I told him, he came over the other day and I spent some time with him. I showed him my equipment and stuff, and he was all over it. He was all eyes and all ears. It was pretty cool. But he'll keep at it. I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I heard gonna be another bad weather tomorrow. Tomorrow snow come down. Like this morning, it was 2 inches snow on the ground. And they said tonight is going to snow too, but I haven't seen it yet. Then on Thursday or Friday, it's going to get colder. That's what I heard.
Yeah, Jen's off the rest of the week, so we're going to get our Christmas shopping done, get all of our stuff done here, Christmas stuff out and all that, so we'll be ready after this weekend.
If everything goes smooth, yeah, it will be. Otherwise, it's always a last minute shop, okay, because you can't find whatever you want, like a heavy duty coat or pants or something like that.
WDAKL Friday. Yeah, we're heading Costco tomorrow, so I'm gonna try and pick up some more of those 32 degree shirts you told me about. I really like those.
Yeah, those are the best. I mean, tell you something. You don't need to wear nothing heavy. I'm here right now, and I have one on, and it's really warm. I don't even feel no cold at all. The only cold I feel is through the blue jeans. Even at home, you feel that cold coming with the blue jeans, not know that 32 shirt.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. All right, buddy, I'm going to cut you loose here. I'm glad we chatted, catched up here, and we'll chat at you tomorrow. We'll stay warm over there, Jack. KMA DRC WDAKL, I'll be clear after yours.
Hi, Greg. Good talking to you. Keep doing the same. And, yeah, pick up a couple of those T-shirts, and you'll be okay. I'm okay. I'm sitting great. Not really. All day I was on me, but never got cold. Anyhow, take care. Have a good evening. KFH DRC.
Good evening, 22 hours, cloudy, 28 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, clear, 27 degrees.